Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Baselli.
Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Baselli.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Baselli.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
First sure sign that training camp is ready to open, the media guide is sitting on the desk here in the radio studio when we walk in.
And it's a very nice one, I might add. Spiral bound, where you can keep it open and turn the pages and not have to, like, mash the book to keep it open in the spot. I like that.
And big enough for those in the press box who have cheaters and need to kind of get a little help here and there.
And the other indication that training camp is right on the brink, everybody's here.
Yeah, exactly. Tony Baselli back in the studio. Nice to see you.
Thank you very much. Good to be here. Back a week earlier than I thought.
Really?
Yeah, it's good to be here.
How do you feel?
You know, good. As good as I could have expected after having major surgery 9 days ago. So,
another hip replacement.
New hip. I was filleted open last Monday.
They take pictures for you. Just
I don't want to see them. Yeah. The scar. It's not like, you know, Jeff's had surgeries. Your shoulders. You know, they're not. From what I'm told, this is a bloody, nasty, major saw bones off. No interest.
You got a real strong constitution to do that surgery, don't you?
If it was done on you or Jeff, I'd love to watch it, but not on myself.
Laying it out. Hey, along those lines, how do you feel, John Osher?
I feel great. I'm back. My hips are fine. So fluid, as always.
Loggy,
so.
You good?
I'm good.
All right, so here we go. Well, an hour.
I saw Loggy's picture, Surfer Man now. I mean.
A little surfing, yep.
I've seen a golf club in his hand, believe it or not.
Baselli's having hip replacement, and I'm learning how to surf.
I got to tell you.
You can never complain about anything
I'm
again.
Jealous.
But you know what, though? My neck, from just laying on that surfboard and holding your head back.
I bet you were sore.
Oh. You know, the things that –
you don't realize it.
You just sit there and you go, that was a rough game.
Yeah.
You know, and it's taken a toll. I mean, it's taken a toll on Tony. And, you know, people asked me, did you enjoy it? And I said, the most enjoyable thing about it has been not getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's the reality of a former player.
I tell people all the time, though, and they, you know, I said, don't feel sorry for me. Because I'd go do it all over again. Knowing what I know and knowing the risk and everything else, and I know there's some players that don't feel that way and they badmouth the NFL and think the NFL is an evil empire and trying to, you know, hide injuries from players and all this stuff, and that's their business. I disagree with it. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I'd do it all over again.
Anything else to be replaced, or are you pretty much good for now?
Oh, I'm good right now. I mean, probably just like Loggy, you know, you never
shoulders
know
hurt,
where you never know where your shoulders are going to end up 10 years from now.
Yeah, right.
And so that's the only thing I worry about is down the road my shoulders will be like. But knees are good, and I mean your big toe hurts and your ankles and your neck. I mean, but that's just.
So do mine.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm not as old as you though.
That's true.
But I mean, so just basic
that we
stuff,
have perspective.
Yeah, but I'd do it all over again. If they said here's a pill that you can that you can take and we'll let you suit up tomorrow, give me the pill. We'll
Let's go
do it again.
All right. So the big news today is that the owner, Shad Khan, made comment that I guess it was yesterday he made the comment, it was published today, about Maurice Jones-Drew. And, you know, both sides have been fairly quiet. And now Shad stands out and says, we don't have a decision to make, he does.
Well, I think that, you know, yes, it's news because Shad said it. But it's not really anything different than what Gene Smith said a month ago. And when Gene Smith said that, I didn't think for a minute that Gene had said that without talking to Shad about it.
Yeah, but you know, John, I think a lot of people.
Shad's always been on board with his stance.
Yeah, a lot of people, though, you know, you're not quite sure. When you have a new owner, you just don't know how it's going to work. And so when the owner comes back and basically reflects upon the comments that Gene made and backs him up and says the same thing, then people say, now it's written in stone.
Oh, without question, the perception changes.
Yes.
Well, I think it's strength.
This doesn't change what the Jaguars
because the perception was before that Shad Khan made any comment is that, well, you know, maybe the owner kind of gets involved here and steps in and helps find a resolution.
And builds
a
bridge.
I never imagined a case where that was going to happen, so it didn't surprise me, but I could certainly see how that's the perception.
Well, I just think it shows how strong the resolve of the Jaguars are in this issue.
Right.
And I think everyone in this room knew that. But I agree with Jeff to his point. It makes quite a statement when the owner comes out and says, listen, we're not moving. Mr. Jones-Drew wants to come play. I mean, we want him. If he doesn't, that's his prerogative.
But you guys have both been in contract negotiations. If you were in his position, understanding that the team is solid, and that, you know, you want what you want, but you face $30,000 a day in potential fines, how long do you hold your ground?
0 days. Okay, it's just
that
simple.
Didn't take any time, did it?
It's simple math for me. Yeah. I want more money than the $5 million, give or take, that I'm making this year. I don't think the team's going to move. I mean, it's pretty obvious they're not going to move this year. Why am I to give back $30,000 a day of that $5 million? And so if I wait a week, I'm actually going to be playing for $210,000 less than I would have made. I mean, I don't know who's giving him advice. I don't know who's in his ear. But if I was asked, I'd say, listen, get on a plane, get there tomorrow morning, because it's going to cost you. It's already costing you $30,000 or $60,000, whatever minicamp costs you, and then you're just going to pile onto that every day you miss. I think it's a bad strategy because I don't see the Jaguars giving them more money this year at all.
Right.
Yeah, and you guys know my strategy. I mean, I would have done it differently all off season.
In the beginning.
You know, I just think it could have been done differently. You know, I don't want to rehash that, but –
But even done differently, Jeff, I don't think the outcome would be any different as far as more money being gotten.
No, I just think – You know,
but the perception would be a lot different.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I would have liked, like Soft say it again, I wish he'd come here for the veteran orientation camp, not participated in the voluntary OTAs, expressed his displeasure in person, and then come to the mandatory mini camp, reaffirmed that displeasure, and then if you wanted to hold out, then you can start your holdout for a couple of days to make your point then, but not
– But. He's in such a tough situation.
I just think, you know, when you've got a new owner, a new coach, and you haven't had any contact with them, you know, on a face-to-face basis, that
you have no you haven't paid any relational rent, which I like to call it. You've never,
and that's
given,
probably
you don't
the
given
key
anything.
You don't build any allies.
None.
To your side.
There are a lot of people here right now, as strange as it seems to fans who have only seen the product on the field the last few years, there are a lot of people in this building who don't know Maurice Jones-Drew. Offensive coaching staff doesn't. The owner really, I mean, they've met, but it's not like there's a relationship there. And Maurice Jones-Drew, at the same time, doesn't know a lot of people in the building, so he's not really – I don't know that he really knows what the fabric and the tone of the building is right now.
It's much different than anything Maurice experienced the last
– Dramatically different. I think there's a disconnect there. I really do.
I do. And he's in a – we've talked about why he's in such a difficult situation as far as – where the league's gone with running backs and strategy and all that kind of stuff. But here's the other thing. I think I don't know if there's any allies even in the fan base that are really for Maurice, because what I think the overall perception is wait a second, this is a team that went to bat and gave you a bunch of money and tore up a contract when they didn't have to and made you one of the highest played players at your position when there was no track record that you deserved it. Now, you've earned that, but you still have 2 years left on that deal. At the very least, we've earned some goodwill from you that we've put in, and for you to come back now with 2 years left when you're still one of the – what is he? He's in the top seven, I think, as far as running backs or whatever.
Right. Well, I heard it explained, and maybe it was you who said, look, in a negotiation anyway, you know, both sides have to win something. And the first 3 years of the deal, as you just said, were very good for Maurice, and the last 2 years of the deal are very good for the Jaguars. So why should they give up the part of it that's good for them?
And it's not terrible
for him,
for Maurice.
No, right. But it's he was, to a degree, paid, I don't want to say overpaid, but he overpaid for the market in the
early on. I'll say this, there's a lot of people outside this organization
that thought so.
That thought he was overpaid the day he got that contract.
And if he thinks he's underpaid now, well then the deal is the deal. They're getting their end of the bargain that works for them. So
even the Forte deal was very similar to the one Jones-Drew actually got. So,
well, that's the other thing that hurts them. The new deals that went out
are not
they're not huge,
right? Ray Rice
they're
is
not
a
Adrian.
Little better, but Ray Rice is a little
he's younger,
younger, and the perception is there's a little more still to go there. So
and
I mean,
his contract had expired,
and that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, he had all the leverage.
You know, Brian, you keep using the word negotiation. This isn't a negotiation.
No, this is not.
Right.
I was talking about this.
Right, and fans who ask me questions about it keep saying, you know, why don't the Jaguars give a little in this negotiation? And the answer is there's not, from their perspective, it's not a negotiation.
All right, so when does he show?
I don't know. I mean,
the silence tells you nobody knows.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. I hope, just for his own sake, that he shows up tomorrow and so he doesn't lose any money. I don't think it's going to happen. My guess, middle of next week.
The only other player who is not in camp with a contract when they report tomorrow, unless he gets it done tonight, is Justin Blackmon, who got his
legal,
and he got his legal issues done. So just a thought on this, because it's a different negotiation, and this is a negotiation.
Absolutely, this one is.
Just because of the way the Jaguars are going to approach the guaranteed money. If he had not had this, this would pretty much be a stamp-out deal, right?
I mean, well,
I don't know where it fits.
I mean, I think he's still going to have guaranteed money. It's just...
Not as much.
No, it would have been about $20 million based on
I think it's still going to be a lot of... I think there's just going to be... it's going to be clear pullbacks for the Jaguars if he does certain things. Where the typical contract might make it harder... if he messes up off the field and gets to get that money back. I think the money will be guaranteed based on unless you go get do ABC as far as legal issues.
Right.
And then it's very easy for them to pull back the money without having to go through arbitration and stuff like that. That's my sense. With that all said, I'm fine with where Justin is. I'm fine with him negotiating. That's his right. I mean, he has the right as a first-round pick, top-five pick, to use his leverage to get the best possible deal. This is normal business. Should be no hard feelings. No one should look down at Justin. No one should look down at the team. This is just part of business in professional sports.
At the same time, because of the off-field thing, I think fans are going to be much less willing to accept him holding out.
Which isn't fair to him, I don't think.
Well, but if he's holding out for more guaranteed money in the event that he has an off-field problem, then the obvious response is, well, don't have an off-field problem. And so in that sense, he has put himself in this situation. If that's the holdup, then it is pretty much on him. So I think there'll be less sympathy.
But in fairness, John, we don't know if that's the issue. I mean, we're speculating, unless you've heard. I haven't heard that's the exact issue.
Well,
but pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Is that it? I mean, I've been out of
right. If that's not the issue, then absolutely you're right. But if he's waiting to come into camp.
But even if that's the issue, right? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's his prerogative. I mean, he's a first rounder. Use your leverage when you can.
He lost his leverage.
I disagree with you there. I don't think he has.
Listen, didn't lose all of it.
I don't think he lost it. I mean, he lost some of it.
In the court of public opinion, he certainly lost it.
Sure.
In reality,
he hasn't lost any.
True.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. The players report tomorrow. First practice is Friday. And, of course, it is open to the public. We'll take this break and come back and talk more with John, Tony, Jeff, and you. 355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. Joseph.
Thank you, Brian. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. We'll return right after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Fans, single game tickets for the Jaguars 2012 preseason are on sale right now. Single game seats for the regular season go on sale August 1st at 9 a.m. For more info, just call 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets. Brian.
All right, Joe, here we go. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. An hour tonight, an hour next Wednesday, 2 hours, 2 weeks from tonight. And Ryan is on the line from Jacksonville. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me. Real quick, I just want to touch on a couple of things. You know, Maurice Jones-Drew, and I don't really think we should give him a reworking of his contract. I think, you know, you have a contract, and that is what you play for. But, you know, I hear some of these things. You know, there was an article today in the Times Union that said we should trade him, and whoever that guy is a complete idiot and knows nothing about football. Because, you know, some of the argument is saying, well, he's had his best years behind him. To me, there is no evidence that this guy has had any best years behind him. If anything, he's getting better. And, you know, hopefully everything works out, and he's in camp.
I'm going to sense you guys may disagree here a bit.
Well, the only evidence is history with running backs in the seventh year. I mean, with him, you probably don't see it, but history tells you.
History is against him. Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to happen. History was against Fred Taylor, too, and he got better and played great as the 10th, 11th year player. But history is against you as a running back. And the other thing that is against you when it comes to history, the amount of touches that Maurice Jones-Drew has had the last 2 years. If you look at the what happens after a guy has over 350 touches, whatever that, I can't, or 325, whatever that magic number is, there's a number there. That toll and that pounding takes a toll on you, and you start seeing a fall off in years to come. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Maurice, but I don't think it's fair to take a shot at the guy who wrote the article in the Times Union saying the guy's an idiot, doesn't know football. I think what he's doing is looking at history, and if you took all the emotion out of it and you and weren't a Jag fan like we are and didn't love Maurice like we all do, and you just stepped back, looked at history, looked at Maurice Jones-Drew, looked at his numbers, you would be viewed pretty smart if you said, I'm going to bet that his best years are behind him.
And to his credit, I sat in here, you know, in September of last year, and both of you guys talked about the biggest reason you love Maurice Jones-Drew is he's tough and he never gives up. Well, he also runs like that, which takes a toll on the body.
Yeah, and I love
Maurice. He never avoids a hit. Every carry that he got last year, what was impressive about it to me,
he
earned every yard.
Every yard.
He was a man on the field. But that can take a toll. And that's why there's not a lot of trade value. I mean,
Yeah, they're not going to trade him. And I don't think they should. And I hope Maurice is here. I hope he comes in. I think we'd all agree this team's better with Maurice Jones-Drew on it. He's one of the best running backs in football. I just don't think they're going to give him any more money. So come in and play some football.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You haven't been here for a couple of weeks. I think maybe we've bandied about Rashad Jennings and what he's capable of doing. What do you think? One of the things that you've talked about a lot is his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, he's a, I guess you could say, a multifaceted running back in that he can stay on the field all the time. But, you know, he's unproven. You know, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He hasn't proven anything yet. You know, so you're always a little leery of a guy like that. And, you know, I think you've got to wonder that if you get to this weekend and he's not here and there's no sign that that's going to change, do they go out and look at signing a Cedric Benson, a Joseph Addai? I mean,
well, Joseph's with New England.
They cut him today.
They did cut him. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
At some point, you've got
to
prepare
to
not
get
have
him. You have to get some depth.
Yeah.
And I agree.
And not because you don't believe in, you know, Jalen Parmalee and Greg Jones and Montel Owens and Rashad Jennings. It's because you got to have a guy that you know that's done it before and you've seen it do it before versus a guy that you believe can do it.
Yeah, listen, Maurice Jones-Drew is the bell cow. I mean, you need him here. I mean, he makes you better. And if he's not going to, I agree with Jeff, you got to get some depth, because as much as we all like Rashad and we see a lot of potential and we've seen flashes of what he did not last year but the year before, he hasn't been able to do it consistently because of injury. He's a high-cut guy, which worries you a little bit at the running back position because of the shots that they can take. Not that there hasn't been high-cut guys that have been.
Oh, James Short's a great example. He was a high-cut guy.
Yeah, but he's outstanding out of the backfield, and you love his upside. But I don't think you can plan as a coaching staff on simply upside. You have to make sure you have guys who can do it.
All right. Time for a break here at the bottom of the hour. News from our friends at WOKV is next. But first, Joe Fortunato.
Thank you, Brian Sexton. Season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer a Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. Just ask Brian Sexton. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more info, we're joining the Refer a Fan program. Just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com. News is next, traffic, weather, then more of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio.
All right, the punter's in. And did you see the Twitter photo of him signing his contract and the shirt he was wearing?
Did not.
I didn't see the shirt.
Nice blue shirt, royal blue shirt, and it says, punters are people too.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I guess he got that from Rich Eisen on NFL Network. If it's the same shirt I'm thinking about.
Okay.
I thought
maybe Barker gave it to him.
No, they are. They are people. So.
Obviously. He can write. So that's done.
Good for him.
Yep. So congratulations to him.
Justin Blackman.
Justin Blackman and Maurice Jones-Drew.
And he's got to finish the negotiations on the heel of he pled guilty.
He did.
The DUI charge. So
it was, yeah.
Misdemeanor, you know, first offense.
The only thing I found interesting in the entire thing is, and I didn't know you could do this, he had a psychiatric evaluation that said that it was a one-time occurrence and that he does not have a drinking problem. I just had never heard.
No, I haven't either. But you know, they got a device now that you can put in your car and you've got a blow in it.
No, I know. I had a family member.
Interlock device.
I had a family member who had more than, I'll just say it this way, more than one DUI.
Okay.
And they finally said the only way you're going to drive is you have to have this
device
thing, and he had to blow into it.
And it wouldn't start if it was...
It won't start if there's any alcohol, and if you blow into it and no alcohol, the car starts and you go back to business.
There you go. So...
Hopefully it doesn't get to that point, or...
No, I think that's...
Yeah, that would
isn't
be...
in that neighborhood.
No, no, but he had to put that in his car.
Yeah, if he wants to drive, the state of Florida will not let him get a driver's license for a year unless he gets the interlock device.
I didn't know that.
I thought it was 2 years.
Oh, I thought it was one. So we have to check on the fact.
Yeah,
that.
No, if you want, I mean, that, the only reason I brought that up is because I read the...
That's what he's got to do?
He has to put that in his car if he wants to get a license.
Yeah.
And I think he has to be tested, and this is outside the league, once every... 3 months or every 3 weeks or 6 months or something.
But the league's going to test him a whole lot.
Yeah, the leagues
that.
Will be stronger. But I'm saying, but this was all part of the misdemeanor plea agreement.
I think when they were working a couple years ago, I think I read that the league's policy and the program is not well publicized, but a player who's in the program can be tested up to 22 times a month.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I mean,
but listen.
There's no room for error there. Ask RJ Soward.
Well, listen. I hope the psychiatrist is right. It was a one. It's you know, it's not a pattern, and it's no big deal. And he made a mistake, like we talked about, and it's behind him. And he gets signed and comes in, because I'll tell you this part, this much: he played great at the end of minicamp.
Had a much better minicamp.
I mean, he really looked good on the field. So, you know, I don't know where you guys are handicapping it, Mike. I don't think it's any longer than a week before this deal gets signed, and I'm looking forward to him getting him out there and getting him, because he's going to be a big part of the offense. Yeah.
And it was interesting in a story I wrote for Jaguars.com the other day, talking to Mike Mularkey.
There we go.
Mike was very forthcoming that, you know, they were frustrated with him, and Justin was frustrated before the incident. And he said afterward there was a marked difference. He said he wasn't sure exactly why. He wanted to prove something. He said sometimes you need – I'm paraphrasing. He said sometimes you need something to wake you up. But he said it was a marked difference. They were, you know, he said it was clear that he wasn't doing what was necessary beforehand.
He didn't have a sense of urgency in the OTAs, whereas in minicamp.
Yeah, I mean it was a difference, and that's you know, I think we all said right when it happened, boy, you hope this happened at the right time. Evidence so far, maybe it did.
All right. Last year, in fact, I was just reading through the media guide, and injured reserve. I mean, you start pointing at all the guys who finished the year on IR. So you've got a healthy list of guys who are going to be, what's the right word? Guarded,
cautious.
Held back. Cautious. They're going to be cautious with.
Limited.
Limited in camp. That was the word I was looking for, Tony. So let's start with the two big guys up front of the defensive line, Tyson Alualu and Terrence Knighton. And, you know, what you do with those guys as you try to work them back in.
Well, I think you'll probably be, and this is just me guessing, that Tyson will be monitored throughout.
Right.
That Terrence kind of they'll gauge where he's at the start, and obviously they want him to get as many reps as possible. The more reps that he gets, the better shape that he's going to get in.
Yeah, it's obviously all the eye. They'll do tests this week to figure out if he can take the pressure on the eye. I know talking to people, they're really excited about the progress of the eye, about him, about everything. But until you do the test, you just don't know if he's ready to take that pressure yet. The feeling is that he will be, but that's not certain yet.
And I think the feeling is that if it's not right away, it'll be very soon.
That's what you hope.
Where Terrence will be ready to go. I think Tyson, I agree with Jeff, is probably an all-camp thing where you're monitoring.
Might be an all-career thing.
Sure.
Well, it could be. But at least all camp where you're monitoring that knee and giving him rest when need be.
The good thing, though.
That's normal. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Camps aren't what they used to be.
Well, that's what Mularkey said yesterday. You know, when I was talking to him, he said, hey, there's a certain process that you have to go through these days with guys who have been injured just to make sure you can manage your roster the whole season. You don't just throw guys who are coming off injuries out there to start. And I haven't looked at every roster on every NFL team. But I'm sure every camp, there's a handful of guys that are like this right now. And
Jeff,
it's just part of the game now.
Jeff, remember when we were playing, if you were limited and they're going to work you back off of an injury, you might just do one a days. Heck, that's all there is now.
Well, yeah.
You don't even get two a days.
But even I mean, under Coughlin, they really wasn't one a day. It was, you know, you dress both times and then you get a break every now and again.
Well,
one practice.
But my point is, it was, I mean, to your point, it's not even camp.
No, that's right.
I mean, it's so different.
You use special teams practice,
I mean,
and then you have
to
one
work guys in. I mean,
it's practice.
It is just practice. Yeah, it's like a regular practice. Season practice.
What's that?
Talking about practice.
Well, but it's not camp.
It's not camp.
2 days.
I don't think
it's not the grind it used to be.
Camp is not. I don't think camp.
I was trying to incite the Allen Iverson in you there.
I get.
But my point.
I miss it. I miss now and then. Go ahead, Tony.
There is no camp anymore. We still call it training camp. Guys go away from home. They stay somewhere else. You know, you have your 2-a-day with your stay in a hotel, your night meetings.
Which, to me, is for the betterment of the game.
I agree. I didn't think
no
we
question.
Needed.
No.
I'm not talking down to these guys. I'm jealous. I don't think I needed 2-a-days. I'm sure Jeff, I mean, you came to camp in shape. I mean, you needed 1-a-days and maybe some mental walkthroughs to get back and hit in shape and
I think,
get
well, accustomed
to the game.
I think a lot of times, you know, 2-a-days.
But this was the best thing that ever happened. 2-a-days made me, I think, hurt you.
I think
because
I think
by then camp, you're dead.
Physically, I think it did. A lot of times you'd lose strength. You know,
I know I did.
In a training camp because you weren't lifting as much weights. I mean, you just didn't have the energy. You know, you couldn't maintain that level of strength. And so a lot of times at the end of training camp, it was almost like you had to heal from
you
training
camp.
You wonder if
2-a-days
get
became
ready for
outdated
the regular season.
When you had basically year-round
the
conditions.
Two-a-days became outdated. When Jimmy Johnson came in the league in 1989, and basically he revolutionized the off season.
He made practice year round, so you don't
That's
need 2-a-days
right.
anymore to get
And
in
so
shape.
You had OTA, then the union stepped in and they had OTAs and you're working out and you have you know, voluntary workouts, which you know they're voluntary, quote unquote. When all of that happened, you know,
2-a-days were a waste.
2-a-days now, you don't need them.
Right.
So I will say this, I don't know, you know, if how much longer, you know, if your career would have been longer or anything. I think I'd have been a better player without 2-a-days.
No question for me.
I just think I mean I'd have been fresher and felt better.
Would have been healthier.
Now the other side of it, so would have been the guy I'd have played and get cross for him, so maybe all things were equal and it would have been to that point we all felt like we all felt terrible. So but I think it's the best thing the league's done is getting away from 2-a-days. I don't like once the season starts, I don't like them mandating how many padded practices you can have during the year and being so strict about how much time you can spend on the field. And I know you got to be careful of that because coaches would take advantage of it and be out there all day, but I don't like the mandating 14 padded practices for the year. That went a little bit too far, but the 2-a-days, I think, smartest thing ever.
Is it significant, and I'll ask you guys this because you played in it, they're moving practices out of night and put them at 8:30 to 11. The real practice, as they say, will be 8:30 to 11. Does that matter?
I think it's smart. I like it better.
I personally like the night practices.
Yeah,
it was
easier
for me.
Right,
because I didn't have to stand the knee. Okay.
Right.
And it was great. You know, you go and fish a little bit in the morning.
Yeah,
you know,
your
you
whole
do some
day.
Other things, and then you come here at night. You know,
and
watch practice. You know, so for me personally, it was great. From a player standpoint, I would not have liked coming in at night and then having the hardest practice at night because, for one, I'd want to prepare my body for the heat because that's what we're going to have to play in.
I agree.
And on top of that, by the time you get done with practice, it's 9 o'clock or after 9 o'clock. And then – so when do you eat?
Right.
You know, what's your clock look like now?
It's
you
so
know,
against the body
very
clock
different.
Of most NFL teams. It was a very strange
very
thing.
Very different.
I didn't like
the,
it.
By the time you get, you know, you get back to, you know, the dormitory or hotel, wherever team is staying at, you're trying to unwind physically and mentally to get to rest, but then they're starting up in the morning, you know, not so much later than they would if it wasn't a night practice. So I never liked the night practice kind of routine if I was a player, but from a media standpoint,
sure,
it's
great.
It's great.
I mean, how silly is that? Man, we're talking about practice.
There you go, Alan.
I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that.
That's but we're beautiful. Talking about practice.
Practice.
Also, I agree with Jeff. It was stupid.
You know, and
practice at night. I mean, it was. Practice during the day. What is the advantage we have here living in Florida once September
it's
comes?
The heat.
We'll get used to it.
Yeah.
Play in it.
Yeah, I just remember, you know, back when Tom ran his training camp, you know, we had a morning practice and then we had an afternoon practice.
It was hot at both days.
And our afternoon practices were
miserable.
Yeah. I mean, they were hot.
They stunk.
About 2:30, weren't they? I mean,
yeah.
They moved back
it
here
was
about 2:30.
But you know, I was okay with them. You know, the older I got, because you know, that's the older you get, you know, the more oil that you need. You know, you're kind of like Tin Man. And
I wasn't okay that we had two of them though.
No. But the heat kind of helped you get, you know, kind of going for that second practice in a training camp mode. And I was okay with it.
All right, folks, we need a break. We will return with more Jaguars This Week with Tony Buscelli, Jeff Loggeman, John Osher, and this guy, Joe Fortunato.
Thank you, Brian Sexton. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Football Fanatics. We'll be right back on Jaguars Radio.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of Jaguars This Week. Hey, Coach Malarkey was in here for his radio show on Monday. He's really excited about this scrimmage a week from Friday. So the scrimmage begins with warm-ups at 6 and then full contact starting at 7. All the same things that you expect, the Roar, Jacksonville, the D-line, but they've got the Special Operations Command paracommandos who are going to skydive into the stadium prior to the start of the scrimmage.
Sweet.
Discounted concessions, $2 beers, $2 waters, merchandise on sale at the outlets around the stadium, 50% off. And then at 8:45, players will sign autographs before a fireworks show.
And we will be on the air.
Right here on these airways.
7 to 8 p.m., is that correct?
With $2 beers?
With $2 beers?
This could be interesting.
Joe might not
can
make it on.
Can we broadcast the from the Bud Zone?
Can we, you don't want to broadcast.
No,
the
we
Bud
can't.
Zone. You don't want
we
to
worry
broadcast
about you,
the Bud
Jeff,
Zone.
We worry about you with the $2 beer.
That's what I'm. Well, what I was right. trying to think of, this will be a great way to get fans involved. Come be a broadcaster for a couple plays.
So Jeff can go into the beer line.
Yeah. Folks would love that. Exactly.
We could do it. We could do it once.
Yeah, right. So anyway, that's next Friday night. 6 o'clock warm-up, 7 o'clock scrimmage, 8:45 for the autographs, and then a fireworks show, and of course, the Special Operations Command para commandos.
That'll be a good night.
They're trying to make it even bigger than before. And the thing that Coach Malarkey said off the air to Joe and I was, you know, you go to some of these old line NFL cities, Green Bay, obviously, they really make it a huge show, and that's what we need to do here. And so he was the one that sent me all this information personally. It didn't come from the PR department. It came from him in an email saying, would you please make sure you hit this? So it has been hit.
I wonder what the fireworks are going to be. Are the players going to be holding sparklers?
You didn't have $2 beers, it won't matter.
Yeah.
Woo, that's good.
There might be fireworks in the stands with $2 beers.
All right, 5 minutes left. A couple other guys who are coming back from injury. Rasheem Mathis at one corner, Derek Cox at the other, Paul Posluszny with the shoulder. Thoughts on those guys in the defense?
And
Lane.
Austin Lane.
Well, Austin Lane's fine.
Shoulder.
Posluszny said he's fine. Rasheem's got to work his way back. Derek Cox, not sure. But there's one that's not on that list, I think, that I'm very curious about because not a whole lot was talked about him all during the OTAs, and that's Clint Sessions.
Sure.
You know, they don't have to talk about the players when it relates to injuries in the OTAs and such. But Clint Sessions, according to my eyes, missed significant time during the offseason. And it was never really explained why. I didn't try to investigate to find out why because I just said, hey, look, you know, when we get to training camp, we'll know more. But that may be one of the things that I look for mm-hmm. the most when training camp opens up on Friday is where's Clint Session and how much participation does he have at the very beginning? Because, you know, here's a guy that had multiple concussions last year, went to see a specialist in the offseason in Pittsburgh, talked about the recovery process, and that's not something to play with.
He participated more fully at the beginning of OTAs than at the end.
Then that was kind of
right.
it for
then
him.
That's
going to
be it. So it's going to be an issue.
The other one that we haven't mentioned yet is Evan Britton.
He's fine.
He's fine.
He's great.
That I mean, I think that's something we're going to
be gonna watch for him.
That's what I'm saying. Chronic back, missed all of last year, was beat up the year before.
But he looks so good in OTAs and minicamp.
Jeff, I agree with you.
You know,
and I'm believing
physically. You're saying just looking at him.
I mean, he looked like the old Evan,
which we need.
Which you know,
but I think that's
you
something.
You hear him, you see him, and you can't help but your eyes right. all of a sudden turn to look at Evan Britton because he's getting after it.
But Tony's right.
That's
it's
something
a
that
huge
it's
training
a huge,
camp
yeah.
story. He had as good an off season as you could possibly expect, considering from where he'd come from. And there's every reason to be optimistic about it.
Yeah.
But
it's
until
a back.
Those pads back
it's a
on,
back,
you've got to look at it.
It's a mm-hmm. back injury on a big guy.
And it's a huge story.
And a big
I agree.
That we need at right tackle. I think that, the one you know, obviously the two defensive tackles are critical, but I think the two that injuries that I'll be tracking this offseason or this training camp going into the preseason are the two corners because that's important depth-wise. Derek Cox, who obviously is back and is 100%, but we need him to stay healthy and make sure. I mean, 16 games. Him and Rasheen. Obviously, we had Aaron Ross come in. But
and by the way, before you move off away from Aaron Ross, when is his wife scheduled to run in
no
the Olympics?
Idea. Soon, though. I think he's not.
Make sure opening ceremonies are Friday night.
Okay.
So
and she does the 400, and then she does a relay. Is that right? So I just want to make sure because I want to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's supposed to be here tomorrow. I know he's going to attend it when she runs. So, I mean, I don't honestly know when the time frame
is. I thought
is.
If I remember reading right, he misses 3 days of camp or something.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know when that is. But it's the corner position with the injuries there with Rasheen and Derek Cox staying healthy and then right tackle with Evan Britton because those are critical.
There's so many storylines.
It's a great camp.
You know, obviously with Justin and Maury's kind of the storylines before you get to camp. And then no matter how many storylines that you have at the start of training camp, you know, it all comes back to number one, and that's the development of the quarterback.
I was just going
to
say, the biggest story, that, forget everything else, forget about every other position and injuries and everything else, where I will open up the preseason against the Green Bay Packers, the first preseason game, with the opening segment will be on what this team needs to do in the production and development of Blaine Gabbert. I guarantee on the radio that's what you guys will focus on early, and that's what every fan will be looking at this preseason. How does number 11 develop and progress? Because
and I'm looking forward to watching.
I think it's gonna be fun.
You know, I
think he has a great year. I'm not saying he's gonna be a Pro Bowler, but I think he progresses to the point where we sit in mid-January, end of January, whatever the season ends up being over, and we sit there and we look back and review the season, I think we say we know who our franchise quarterback is for the future.
Hey, I got it real quick here. It's Friday the 3rd is when the they start with the women's 400.
Okay. So medal. Yeah, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
3rd, 4th,
9 days
fifth.
From there.
Right.
From today, right?
Right.
Okay.
And then she does a relay as well, so and we'll know those are
aren't those about the same days?
No, those look like they're the 9th, 10th, and 11th.
So he'll be gone end. A week?
No, I think he's just going to go watch her run the 400.
The individual.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Preseason openers against the Giants.
Or Giants. I'm sorry, not the Packers.
So I'll be watching that one.
Giants. Yeah. You know why I said Packers? Because
I have no idea.
Because Mr. Harlan,
you're still
who does
on
the
drugs.
Packers. Does
still
the,
on drugs from his hip surgery.
No. Mr. Harlan, Kevin Harlan, who does the Packers preseason games usually,
right,
will be doing play-by-play for us on TV the first preseason game against the Giants.
We can talk about that next week.
All right, guys. Have a great night.